It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Dolly Indigo Star, but before I bring her on, I have to remind you that you can always get new regular episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. You're going to want to for sure check us out on Rockfin. It's where you can get all our premium content. You can also get all our regular shows and all of the premium content from every creator there on Rockfin. You definitely want to check that out. We also have our merch store up. That means you can get our t-shirts, bags, stickers, and all kinds of cool stuff. That link is also in the description. And finally, if you guys are reaching that stage in life, like me, where you're getting some gray hairs, please check out C60 Purple Power. It may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It's helped me with so much inflammation, energy, well-being, sleep. And you can even get C60 for your pets, so your pets can feel amazing too. Just click that link in the description. You get 10% off your order plus free shipping. Tonight, I need to welcome back to the show Dolly Indigo Star. She is a host, independent researcher, ancient civilizations theorist, and public speaker. She's also an author, director, and film documentary producer. She is hosting a radio show once a week on the Global Enlightenment Radio Network, and it has a section on Forbidden Knowledge TV called Raw Talk Sessions Series. Dolly, welcome back. How are you doing today?
Hello, Chris Matthew. I'm doing really well. Thanks for inviting me back.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. I've been looking forward to it. We had a great time last time you were on, and we really barely scratched the surface of some of these things when it comes to our hidden history, nature of reality, and who these beings could possibly be that are called the Anunnaki. You know, some call them progenitors, some call them fallen angels. There's so many different depictions and different theories about who and what these beings are. We'll talk a little bit about that, maybe some of the depictions of these beings, and how it's all connected to our consciousness. At least that's what I believe. And any rabbit hole that we can fall into along the way. Now, you're also a lifelong experiencer. I'd like to know, have you had any profound experiences since the last time we spoke?
Profound experiences since the last time we spoke. I did. We had a missing time, a bizarre episode where time had jumped an hour.
Really?
And then jumped back again. And I kind of thought of dismissed it as though we had imagined it. But I kind of didn't, because a couple of us experienced it. So
Now, where was this that you experienced this?
Bizarrely, I was at the beach in a public location. As always, these things happen to me when I least expect them. I'm not a planner. I don't plan it. I don't know when it's going to happen. It just happens. So I guess that was the recent one, was the question of time so quickly when I'd looked at a watch.
Now, Zaha. Did you have, like, some people, when they have these experiences, they have, I guess what you could call downloads or certain remembrances or recall a little bit later about what might have happened? Did you get any of that after the fact?
We did kind of recognize straight away that something must have happened. There must have been a reason for it. That's the explanation that we came up with, and that surely that the reason for that would be made visible at a later date somehow. But we kind of got the feeling that we knew that something had happened, that whatever had tried to wipe our memory didn't quite happen. And I must admit that it was almost as though we had got lost in time, or lost the track of time as well, when we were doing. But that's quite natural to do anyway. So even though I have all these kind of strange experiences that happen to me, I always kind of still try to look for a logical explanation for them, because they're not within the norm.
Yeah, definitely not within the norm.
Yeah, I don't automatically fob them off all as paranormal, because things can happen. And like, for instance, we witnessed a sonic boom recently that was talked about globally, actually, and I reported it to MUFON, and they called me. And they took my report seriously, which was interesting, because that had been taken seriously by the media and it had been picked up. And I was actually standing on the top of a tor in North Devon, in a place called Okehampton, and there was a sonic boom. And some people had noted a craft in the sky. I noted a craft in the sky, but it was sometime after the sonic boom had taken place. And I must admit, I was a little bit, not terrified, but I was fearful a little bit, because two things ran through my mind when I heard this boom. And that was that, one, there's either been an earthquake, because that has been noted to happen, that there's often loud bangs or noises before an earthquake, the movement. And I thought, is it possible there's an earthquake? And my husband, Thomas, straight away, he recognised and said that sounded to me like what they would call a sonic boom, because it was like an aftershock. And lo and behold, 20 minutes later, it took us 20 minutes to walk down that mountain, because I thought, I'm not going to stay up here with things shaking. I felt the earth move, literally, that sonic boom. And got down there, and about 20 minutes later, I saw a craft go through the trees, tree height, very, very quickly, cigar shaped, and it was huge. Now, two things had crossed my mind with what I'd just seen and what I'd just experienced, or we had experienced. So we kind of put the two together. Could it be a possibility that it was something entering our atmosphere and making the same sonic boom sound? Could that be a possibility? And then we saw craft later. And it wasn't just myself. There were quite a few people reporting on the local radio and television. And I was just guessing in the right place at the right time for this to happen. So that kind of was an interesting one to see.
Yeah, that is really cool. And it's also interesting that there was a sonic boom associated. I know a lot of these crafts are completely silent, you know, so it makes me wonder, you know, what was going on with this one that made a sonic boom. So that's pretty interesting. Now, last time you were on, we got into our hidden history and, you know, just the hidden nature of reality, which I want to dive into a little deeper tonight. And we talked about these beings that, you know, some call Anunnaki. There's different names for them. Some people believe that they're creators or kind of genetic manipulators of mankind, and they've created what we see today as modern Homo sapiens by splicing our DNA with hominids. And then they have other ideas that, you know, we always existed as advanced humans. These beings may have whispered things in our ears to further advance our knowledge of science and technology, arts, and things of that nature. And there's other views that these are just evil entities that, you know, have fallen angels. And there's plenty of other depictions and ideas of who and what these beings are. I'd like to get, again, just to remind the audience, based on your research, who do you think these beings were? Do you think these are celestial entities or extraterrestrials or advanced humans or something different?
All and above. You described it beautifully, because there is, when we look at the biblical tales that we all come to know so well, and that we're brainwashed with, let's say it, that we're brainwashed to believe is the truth. So we have the Genesis story and the story of creation and things like that. Now we have, what we do have is something, no matter what it be, that has played a hand in the creation of our race. So for some, that is hard to digest, because they like to perceive that as a heavenly, a deity, someone that is above majestic. And basically, that's what we are talking. These beings are all of those and above. And there isn't just one of them. I believe, in my research, and from what I've heard from a lot of others' research as well, is that these beings were a collection, a collective race that cohabited and collaborated together somehow to manifest and create man and mankind and civilization as we know it today. Something infiltrated on the planet. And we don't just have one specific race here, we have a collection. And we know that from the petroglyphs and the drawings that have been discovered globally, from America to Australia, that they are depicting the same looking heavenly beings, or mantid creatures, or zeta looking creatures, or human looking creatures. It's not just one set of races that look human in origin. It's a huge collection. And I, from my research, I do believe that these are what we have become to know and love as the Anunnaki. They've played a big hand in our culture, religion, society, and every way of life. And it's still going on today.
Now, what would you say to the individuals, the researchers that say that these beings create us, you know, strictly as slaves, and that these are malevolent beings, and, you know, that none of them are to be trusted, and we are just a slave race here on this planet, even to this day? You know, it's gone from gold to just other types of energy that we are somehow harvesting for these beings. What do you think about, you know, that idea of them?
I can kind of flow with it, but I kind of like to have my own interpretation on it as well and look at the more common sense picture and think to myself that we were created in the image of these beings, and they don't want to destroy themselves and them as a race. And this very creation that was created basically broke the cosmic laws. It shook the foundations of the Anunnaki itself and caused a huge stir, and was talked about should the creation be completely wiped. And this is where we have the epic tales of the flood story and Noah Zedersra, as he was known in the Sumerian and Mesopotamian texts. So we have like a contradiction here of, should this race be saved or should they be wiped out? And there's a balance in between, and we have to remember that we were saved. And that no matter what we look at in any religion, the foundations and the principles are the same, that we are to love one another. Is that not the principal teachings? And that we love one another and respect one another and don't hurt each other and our planet and our animals.
Now, I would think that that would definitely be something that one of these factions would believe in. But I think that there may be different factions with different ideas and beliefs. And yes, one of them is probably more of a warlike faction, or, you know, group of extraterrestrials or humanoids that don't necessarily have the best idea for humanity in mind, and they want more of a control aspect, you know.
We've got them. Those are what we call the reptilians, the Draco reptilian empire that took over the Roman Empire and caused such conflicts.
Now, where would you say Enlil and Enki fall into? Because they are the originals written about in these original texts that have been interpreted that they are two brothers that had different ideas of what they wanted out of humanity, and ultimately one ended up wanting to destroy humanity, one wanted to save humanity, but the whole idea is that they were actually brothers. Now, do you think that it's just misinterpreted, that it could be just different factions?
Okay. Because they actually did come back together. And if people do read the Book of Enki, and you can read manuscripts on Enlil and things that he's wrote as well, if you read the two different versions, you will see a part where both brothers came together in solidarity. They did come together. They had to come together because they are royalty, and their bloodlines and their families all intermingled and overlap.
So you do brothers, think that they were biological brothers?
Yes, okay. They were biological brothers, but with different mothers.
Okay.
The brothers with different mothers. And basically, this is here where we have the conflict with the different mothers, because the different mothers are also of different races. So one race was declaring a more hierarchical bloodline of dominance to be taken after their father Anu, after Anu had took it from his brother. And then we have the epic tale of Alalu, which actually was the first to escape to what he called this planet as the Huey Blue planet. It was his dream to get here and be able to save his civilization and planet, to get here first, and he would forever be praised. So we have a lot of conflicts beginning before the human race was even manifested up between these gods. And we have a contradiction of females and queens that are from different lineages that cross over. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, but you can look all this up. Guys can go out there and they can research this, and they will start to realize that these two brothers had different mothers.
Now, that part, mama. when you go into the part where you're talking about they had different mothers and there was a contradiction in the matriarchal bloodlines, I want to hear a little bit more about that and who these mother figures were.
The mother figures, we have Mamu, we have the huge complex of hierarchy in the Anunnaki system itself. It's almost, they battle. They physically do battle warlike for their dominance, for their status. And it is all about the bloodlines and which is the more dominance of that bloodline. And so this is where down the lines we have where the complications with Horus when he took his seat in Egypt and Ra declared himself all Ra and Horus was not on the throne. He was made to be his slave, basically. Stripped his mother, Isis, was stripped of her titles and left to wander the desert as such with nothing. So these guys were brutal, but with their bloodline, so dragons, draconian. So we're talking the reptilian would be the dragon, the serpent. And then we have the bird tribes, which would be connected to Enlil. So, if we put Birds of Flight with Enlil and his air command, so the Watchers and Enki's son Marduk was very in command of the Ijiji, which was part of the mining on Mars. They took a huge interest in the creation of the women that were being created here, and wanted their hierarchical part of it. So they then became warlike on Mars, battling for their status on the Earth. So there's constantly been, from the beginning, this constant battle for the ownership and who got here first and who should rule first. Should it be the draconians? Or should it be the bird tribes?
Earlier you said that they broke some cosmic laws when engineering humans. Mm. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about that. What are these cosmic laws that they broke?
Well, it's said that you just don't go on any other planet and start creating. Because it's breaking the laws of the cosmic construct of its own evolutionary process. it has its own process and galactic center, and we have a universal center. And it's like you can't just go into another part of the universe and start creating and taking planets. And we can't do that. We can't just go and take another planet and start creating a new species crossed with a species that's already there. It would be against our ethics. I'm sure, you know, we have huge things going on about humans and cloning and the ethics, which we know has happened. We know cloning has happened. We know these things have happened.
Yes, that you're definitely right about the ethics and the things that we're doing. And it goes way beyond anything that I think the public will know anytime soon, at least.
So the cosmic ethics to go into creating a race that has come from us, mm-hmm. really did give them the question of, what if they become like us? What if they become as advanced and powerful as us? Then their own civilization and planet is at threat, because there's nothing stopping us from claiming our origins and our blueprint back.
Now, that when you say that, you know, we are a threat to them because we have this great potential, there's also different variations of this that I've heard. It depends on what researcher you're talking to, that they put some kind of cap on what we're capable of with these telomeres and what our DNA is capable of producing, what our consciousness is capable of. These beings, for some reason, put a cap on it because they were afraid of, if they didn't, we would somehow be more powerful than them. And we have the ability to kind of tap into some of these hidden things that have been suppressed from us. But I think that we would have the ability to kind of unlock so much more if we understood a little bit more about, you know, what happened to where, you know, we used to be, it seems, a species that have great psychic abilities and great consciousness abilities, and then at some point we just got stupid. You know, it'd be great to understand what happened to make us lose these abilities.
I like to say it's the 13th strand. That's what I like to say. It's the 13th part of our DNA. They say 13 is an unlucky number, right? Or is it? Some say 12 strands. I say 13. They forgot about one. It was the one that is far out there, connected to consciousness itself, that cannot be altered or tampered with in any way. And that's part of our free will, as part of a living part of the universal consciousness itself. That's my little understanding. I like to think on that.
Now, as far as any physical evidence we would ever have of these Anunnaki beings, I think that some could point to the elongated skulls, possibly, or even giant remains. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that some of these beings could be connected to the elongated skulls that we found, or giant bones?
Absolutely. So I think the elongated skulls is part of the elders, part of some of the elder Anunnaki that did come and did live and did reside here. In some of the scripts and tales, what we begin to understand, Anu came here and Enki came here with an entourage. So that would have been all kinds of, let's say, commanders and troops. So these troops would have been part of different cosmic races. And we don't just have just male, we have male and female, and they very much did reside on the earth and in the earth. We have tales of Atlantis, we have tales of Lemuria, we have tales of Argatha, inner earth. So I think all of these elongated skulls beings and the stories of the Nephilim, the giants, those that interacted, and the children that women bore from interacting with these heavenly ascended masters, let's say, because that's what we would call them if they visited us today. Because I know that if a winged being or man, which we have to look into, did a winged man actually exist, a bird man, or was it a depiction of a man that could fly or took flight? So, you know, this is where we have the tales of angels and demons that kind of cross over and contradict each other. And I think that these beings are one and all in the same part of cosmic races.
Well, I think something that may kind of confuse people or turn them away when they're looking at this stuff is, are these beings, were they physical beings from different planets? Are these spiritual entities, like, you know, or interdimensional entities, like you were saying? I mean, when you say all and above, it's kind of, it's, you know, some people don't understand. I understand in a way that they could be one, you know, either or. They could be physical beings projecting their consciousness to this planet in a way, you know. You know, people who have a deep understanding of some of these concepts may have an idea, but when you say, you know, that they are encompassing everything, do you think that these are actually spiritual or celestial beings that can manifest physically as well?
Yes, okay. I do. Because I do think that these beings can literally manifest and transcend and move through time. So time doesn't exist to them. Spaces exist to them. So they can manifest and appear through portals for a specific chosen space and time, because that doesn't exist to them.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Space and time.
Do you think they're still around? Do you think that these original progenitors are still interacting?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely yes. Yes, I think they are living with us. I think they are living amongst us. I think we are part them. I think that our governments are being infiltrated and run partly by negative agendaed ETs or hands that are wanting to have their own agenda for part of control and dominance of the resources here on Earth, which part included is the human resource, because we are the only species on the planet that have to pay to be here. We have to pay for our soul to be here. That's kind of odd, right? Who are we paying to? Right. And this is the big question that we need to figure out, answer, and find out so that we can now move forwards and kind of start thinking out that box a little bit more and bring about change.
Now, earlier you mentioned that one of these races may be a type of gray. Now, I know I've understanding that there's many different types of grays, and one of them may not even be completely biological. They may be, you know, partly AI, especially the smaller ones. Based on your research and understanding, what is the difference between some of these grays? Are the taller ones the more humanoid and I guess have a bit of more of human emotion, and the smaller ones more biological AIs or something?
Those are kind of, from my understanding, the taller ones are kind of the older, the elder races that come from the original elder races of the Zeta, and those structures within there, the elder races. And the smaller ones are like a genetic hybrid of them that are little workers, like little worker ants that are sent out to collect data, material, genetic samples to find out who's who, what bloodlines, and a treaty was made with those, and we have part of the Majestic 12 that was set up because of those treaties, and an exchange of extraterrestrial knowledge and technology was exchanged with our governments, humanity, for the good, and could it be for the bad?
I've recently had a guest that I've recently had a guest that believes that this treaty or agreement with our U.S. government, which I'm assuming you're referring to the Eisenhower agreement, is going to be null and void soon or expired. So there either has to be some sort of renewal or something may happen. I don't know. Have you heard anything about this?
Well, I hear that many things, and me, I sit on the fence and I listen. I've heard, the 144,000, they're going to be gathered up. Everybody else is going to be put into FEMA camps. There's going to be, you know, everything's going to kick off. Everybody's going to fend for themselves. And the thing is, we can go around, we can spread fear, and we can think the worst. But none of that is actually happening. I see a change. Something has happened on the planet. The planet has been made to stop. New world order happened. It kicked in. There's no longer any talk anymore of new world order. Wait for new world order. Wait for it, because it's happened. It's there. We're in it. We're not in that old world that we were down that line 3 years ago, where we could be free in a sense. And now we are in a place where every person is either monitored, or they are accounted for, they are allocated for, they know where everyone is. So the world is now under some kind of new control in a new world order, I do believe.
Well, let's talk about how that relates to everything that's happening with this UFO disclosure right now, because I think that's definitely connected in some way.
Yeah.
I definitely don't trust the information coming out, especially from our own government, being fed to the media, and even in a lot of people in our own community. I'm sure there is a lot of misinformation, disinformation going around in our own community. So I have to just step back from this whole thing and just gather information before I even make any kind of
of decisions or ideas about what could really be going on with this. That's why I love having guests like yourself and a wide variety of guests to give their ideas and insights into what's going on with this disclosure right now and why is it coinciding with this COVID nonsense and everything else going on, this new world order, like you said, which is, yes, obviously, apparently already started. You know, we are in it, and there's plenty of evidence to support that. So why is this UFO stuff popping up along with all this? What do you think?
I think it's for a gentle reminder of, one, we ourselves can get this planet quickly under control between ourselves and can get everybody to comply, rule, and follow orders quickly and efficiently. So we've learned that we can all adapt quickly to change. So could it be that the next part of it is that we have to adapt again and know that the new fear is it a fear or is it a comfort to know that we're not alone out there anymore? Because the fear is we have to face facts here with UFO disclosure and that at the moment we have the globe that has started to release its secret space program and that has made it publicly known now that we have a space force. So, and if you go and look at some of that footage and kind of read between the lines, they are telling you in black and white as clearly and as comfortably as they can that these things are now in place because there could be some other kind of threat out there. So is it that they know something that we don't? And rather to cause a mass hysteria, which would happen possibly, because sheep herd mentality, there would be a lot of mass panic and chaos. Not everybody is so clued up and aware. We have children to take care of and elderly to take care of and vulnerable and those kind of people that would not be aware of what is happening on the planet. And that is possibly a huge part of it, is to not cause, like was prophesied, dare I say, the chaotic days of the end of times where everything is just complete chaos and civilization completely breaks down.
Right. Well, as far as what our government knows and what we have, we've announced the Space Force already, but did we already have a Space Force? And if so, how far does our secret space program, whatever you want to call it, how far does that go? How far does it extend? Do we have operations on the moon? Do we have operations on Mars? Do we have operations beyond? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, we had Solar Warden. I mean, Reagan, that was the first, like, you know, hey, we've got this going, funding. There's funding going into this. JFK called for things to be bought publicly. We've got Donald Trump that's called for things to be bought out publicly. I mean, I'm British, so I'm mentioning all these names because to me, I watch these names from the other side of the pond. So I am the rest of the world watching you guys over there. And this is what has happened with most of your presidents in the US government. They have been declaring for some kind of UFO disclosure. They have been pushing for this now for the last 40 years or so.
Yeah. And
usually they have a 50-year timeline of silence, don't they? So right. Are they waiting for the big 5-0 where they can just go Okay, come on. It's all real. We lied.
Well, one of the huge red flags for me is when they showed an official, you know, Navy video of what they call the UFO or UAP, something they could not identify. But not just a Tic Tac. They showed a TR-3, which is one of ours. And if they're showing us one of ours, what makes, you know, that they could easily fake something else with one of ours and get something else stirred up with fear in the public? And that's one of the worries that I have, that they may fake something with all this just to incite fear into the public and maybe further their Space Force agenda with, these guys have this technology, so we have to boost our space technology. You know, they are posing this as somewhat of a threat in some of these reports, you know?
But you see, it's the great old story, isn't it? You see, if they start faking it, you then get the real boys out.
It's possible.
So this is probably the reason why they're not just going to fake it now for the minute. They're not going to fake a mass invasion for fear of there will be a mass invasion, because I think those guys would be pretty interesting if they all of a sudden started seeing a lot of craft that wasn't theirs in the sky, which is 9 out of 10 times they do. You know, I've seen craft here. I've seen the military fly out and seen them chase them around. And just like the Tic Tac video, everybody's watching everybody. Those guys are aware of them up there and they're aware of... But they can't interfere in airspace. But they know this. Governments know this.
Yeah, we definitely...
It's just being public now to us that, hey, these guys do exist. But they're going to say, we just don't know who they are.
Right. That's what they've been saying, yeah.
Yeah.
We're definitely in interesting times. And speaking of unknown objects outside and inside our atmosphere and in space... You and I were talking before the show a little bit about the Black Knight satellite, and I that's one of the really most fascinating things beyond our atmosphere to me at this moment is the Black Knight satellite and the footage I've seen of it and just the theories I've heard about it. Now, I know currently Forbidden Knowledge TV and Billy's working on something for about the Black Knight satellite that's going to be released soon. I would like to hear your take and your research and thoughts on what you think this thing is and its purpose.
Well, I don't want to give too much away because, like, there's a lot of it there in the documentary. But from what I have come to understand is that we have an object that is sitting within our polar orbit that has been there for quite some time. And it's been spoken of that Tesla picked up these signals, and then some Norwegians picked up the signals, and then Duncan Lunan, a man that I went to interview, in fact, part of the documentary, he did a rather interesting or had an interesting take on the whole thing. But that's in the documentary. But yes, I think it is an object that's not ours. Yes, I think it's been there for longer than anyone on Earth has been aware of it, and that it's definitely of intelligent origin. That's what I will say for now.
Yeah, that's a good teaser for it, and we'll definitely have to we'll definitely have to have you back on after this documentary comes out.
When
we'll talk a little bit more about it.
You can have me back on and then listen to actually what the guy who was not kind of responsible, but the rest of the world that hooked on to that kind of theory and the Black Knight satellite itself. I spoke to the man, the horse's mouth himself, and I've got the real story.
That's great.
So that's a global exclusive, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And when is this expected to be coming out?
This will be coming out within the next few months, September, hopefully. Hopefully September, we hope to have it wrapped up and available out there. And you can find that on forbiddenknowledge.com.
That's great. Now, I thought the last thing to close out talking about tonight is probably one of the biggest and mysterious things in ufology, hidden history, consciousness, paranormal, all of these fields kind of put together, is the spiritual and conscious connection to all of this. A lot of the nuts and bolts UFO researchers won't even touch this, but it's been encouraging lately. I have seen a lot of these researchers becoming more open-minded and reaching out to some of the other, you know, either paranormal researchers, consciousness, spirituality. These fields do need to come together more because there is a huge connection and a huge part of it. The spiritual and consciousness connection to all of this, what do you think that it is? Because it's the biggest question for me, and it seems that it's all in some way connected to human consciousness and even the afterlife and paranormal activity. So what do you think that connection is? How do you think it all links together and manifests into our reality?
Dark matter.
Dark matter.
The God particle. Dark matter. The part they can't understand. The part they can't figure out. Consciousness itself. Source itself. I think it's life force itself. It has a manifestation, doesn't it, to create and go on producing. It continues on and on, never ending, ever flowing. And I think that we are our ancestors. So I like to feel myself that I am my ancestors walking within me. So I am the very beginnings of the foundation of time and the cosmic dust itself, that is all within us, and that we are connected and part of the cosmic consciousness as just life, whether it be anything that is alive. Fire is alive. Air is alive. Water is alive. You know, we are all those and more. And it's just that I think it's the source. And that is, to me, dark matter. It's the bit in between that cannot be tampered with, reconstructed, artificially designed. It's just a natural frequency. That's what I like to think, anyway.
That's interesting. Do you think that we are reincarnated through different lifetimes
yes.
until we fulfill a purpose or achieve a goal or learn something?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I almost feel as though sometimes that we opt for it. We have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to come back this time, if we want to experience another lifetime, I like to see myself as having a human experience here. I've come for the human experience. I haven't come to be a king or queen this time.
Right. Maybe once you reach the ascended master status, you can choose to come back and help out if you want.
Yeah. You know, I can wear a crown all day long, but that's a crown of consciousness. It's a different crown we're talking of. So I can come back as something else next time. But I do believe that we do keep coming back until we have achieved what we wanted to spiritually, in our spiritual understanding of the whole cosmos on a whole. I think it's an experience that we opt for understanding as a spiritual being, because half of my understandings of extraterrestrial experiences, many people that have them describe some kind of either angelic or some kind of guidance that they can represent with, like Jesus, or some like to say that screening and things like that, and that can happen. But we have to look at the basic foundations of all of these religions have been learning us something and giving us something symbolically to remember that where we came from. And it's telling us that we came from the heavens. It doesn't have to necessarily be a physical place or a plane called heaven. The heavens are, in my understanding, is the cosmos and the stars. So that tells me that we have been created within the stars, that our ancestors are within the stars. We are the stars, which is kind of why I do Star Children and have recognized that cosmic citizenship within myself as a being here, having a human experience. Sometimes it's very, very painful to be having these experiences. And I meet a lot of indigo kids and they say, how can you tell who's who? How can you tell who's a first waver? And how can you tell who's a crystal kid? And it's the traits that these kids come with, you know, a lot of first time souls here that come to the planet. A lot of them are drug addicts or really emotionally unstable and cannot function with people or in the real world, and they opt to take themselves out. These are a lot of suicide victims and things like that. Sad people that get overlooked and labelled and slipped under the net because they struggle here having their human experience.
Right.
And we get a lot of people with mental health issues that are mislabeled. I knew someone that was mislabeled and misdiagnosed for 40 years as having schizophrenia and was given medication for 40 years with schizophrenia. And they had bipolar.
Oh, wow.
But their system gave up in the end because of the medication that they'd been on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of overlooking our spiritual needs. We have them dismissed from the moment of birth. And you mentioned earlier that why do we forget? Because we've been fed amnesia. We've been fed amnesia. We've been spoon-fed amnesia from the moment we got into our schools and began to brainwash our children.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And to close out, you talked about how we are in the New World Order. We're in this new kind of dystopian reality where they have basically taken over a lot of the system. Now, the question is, can we get it back? Can we get it back within our lifetime? And, you know, will we? Will we have the will to stand up and do anything about it? I mean, it's great that there's a great truth community right now. There's people fighting against this by talking about it and coming out. But there's very little action of people, you know, getting out of their houses and doing anything. And that's what I'd like to see more of. I don't know if that would do anything, but maybe. What do you think? Do you think we have a way to get out of this system that we've kind of dug our way into?
I think that we do. And I think that we can change it ourselves. And it's the biggest thing. The more we fight against what we don't believe, the more we're doing nothing about what we do believe, kind of. I see a lot of people protesting and going out there, and it's fantastic that everybody is so, so passionate. But I don't actually see crowds and tribes trying to change the future, stopping it. It's nice to see people with banners and flags and mass crowds gathering, but what about these crowds splitting off and going into their communities and starting their own schools and not sending their kids to those schools anymore?
Right.
What about these communities going into their own communities and starting their own systems and shops and local take care of their poor and poverty? Like, I know many communities do. I know my community here in England, and it's probably the same in your local area. If there's a disaster, we all plug together. It doesn't matter whose blanket's who. We share it.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've got to start doing, is stop fighting the system and start changing it, but in our own way, and just do it. So instead of saying, hey, we're going to open our own schools and we're going to do this, do it. Groups of parents, get together. If your teachers, ex-teachers, get together. Fund yourselves. Teach your children. Educate them.
Definitely. That was very difficult.
It starts at home, and unless we start at home, we can't go out there and change. And it's the same for, I'm going to mention vaccine. It's an individual choice here in England, and it's going to be the same all over the globe. But part of this, part and parcel of the orders of the whole planet, it's not just one country, it's an order of the whole planet, that unless people have got vaccines and passports and thoroughly up to date, that they don't want outsiders going into their communities. So we have segregation. We have lots of things that is happening that we're not really seeing and taking full notice of what's happening here.
Right.
We have a lot of segregation. We have a lot of discrimination. We have a lot of forced. We have a lot of order. We have a lot of comply, order, control. And how are we going to change all that? And I think it's down to the individual as a person. And I do think that herding and protesting is not going to change much. I just think that they're there behind the scenes going, ha ha, look how many of them gathered.
Right. Yeah, it may not
look
be.
Look how many of them we got together. Look how many we irritated. Let's do it again. Like, you know, it worked.
I mean, it may not be necessarily protesting. Maybe it'll be it have to be something else. But
yeah.
Who knows, you know?
Yeah, who knows? But the more they do it, it's like, it's the age-old game. Control and order is upon humanity. And how will we get out of it?
Right. Yeah, and there's so much that we have to keep paying attention to coming out of the media, even though, you know, I don't think you should believe what's coming out of the media. I think we need to pay attention to the things happening surrounding it, and keep sharing our own information and coming together as independent researchers and media. Mm. And that's the only way that we're going to get through this and kind of keep the information flowing, is to keep talking and keep these platforms up. And
that
Dolly, thank you so much for coming on again. That was great information.
You're
and
welcome.
Like I said, we'll have to have you back on after this documentary comes out. And I'm sure you have plenty of other stuff in the works. Before you head out, let everybody know where they can find more about you, your work, and everything you got going on.
I've got a YouTube channel, Dolly Indigo Star. You can find me there. But mainly you can find me at forbiddenknowledge.com. www.thebiggerthanyouare.com. And if you go over there, you will see a conference that we did last weekend, Forbidden Knowledge Conference, our first one, which was amazing. And
that's a forbidden with a four, right? Number forbidden.
Forbidden with a four, yeah. And I think there's over 5,000 things to watch on there now. I think we're counting between 4,000 and 5,000 things.
It's already won some awards, hasn't it?
Forbidden Knowledge TV. It's winning awards and it's creeping up there and it's on everybody's lips.
That's great.
Forbidden Knowledge. People are knowing who we are now. So
yeah, that's great.
Keep
wonderful stuff.
And come back.
Awesome. Well, Dolly, thank you so much again for coming on. We'll have you back on soon. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We'll see you again.